Matthew chapter number 5. If you all stand for the reading, reverence the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter number 5. We're going to start verse number 14. We'll just read three verses here. I'll let you be seated, and then we're going to go over to 2 Corinthians, and we'll read a couple different passages over in 2 Corinthians. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 14. It says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this day. Thank you for the safety you gave all of your people coming in tonight. Father, I pray that you just help me tonight. Lord, I just want to honor you with this. I want to be a blessing to your people. And Lord, I know that there's heartaches and burdens that each and every person carry in here. And even those that may be smiling and you may not be able to tell, each have a special request, special need, Lord. And I pray that you just meet those. And Father, I pray that you just help every aspect of the service, help our preacher and as he's gone and the others. And I pray that you just give them a refreshing time. And Lord, just bless them. Father, I thank you just for your love for us. Just thank you for being willing to use us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to, as soon as you're seated, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. I want to talk to you tonight about this subject. Power comes from negatives. Power comes from negatives. And I guess when my thought process, which a lot of you know me, so a lot of you know kind of, I mean, I grew up here, a lot of you kind of know how I think, but whenever I see something, my mind goes to the extreme practicalness of something. For instance, you know, when preacher picked the theme Shine as Lights, my mind isn't, you know, necessarily out soul winning and, you know, all that stuff, which it should be. My mind's very practical. I mean, shine as lights. I mean, how does the light shine? That's kind of what I thought about. How does the light shine? Where does the light get its ability to shine? And I want to talk to you just a little bit about that tonight. So it kind of goes along with the theme that Pastor chose for our church this year. But I want to talk to you, like I said, tonight about this subject, that power comes from negatives. We just saw in Matthew chapter number 5 that we are instructed to shine as lights in the world. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. I want to read some about, this is what Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. And I don't know of a guy really, of one single individual that went through as much as probably Paul went through. As what we'd say negatives in your life. And he just lists a few of them here, and then I want to jump over to chapter 12 and we'll read a few verses. So follow along with me. Chapter number 11, verse number 23, says, "Are they the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft." You say, in deaths oft. Yes, I believe, and you could go back down to the beginning of chapter 12, that I believe that Paul at one time probably did actually die, and then that he went and spent some time with Jesus, and Jesus taught him, but we won't go into that tonight. Verse number 24 says, "Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." So he was beaten 5 times, 39 stripes. "Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." And this, I don't know about you, but this is that's a pretty rough resume of things that you've gone through. You know, I've never been beaten once. And, you know, Paul was whipped 5 times. He was beaten with rods once. He was stoned, you know. So I don't think any of us, despite what we may be going through, and believe me, I'm not trying to de-emphasize what you may be going through and what you may go through in the future if you're not going through anything right now, but Paul went through an awful lot. But I want you to jump over in chapter number 12, verse number 6. And Paul said all this stuff, and then it tells about when Christ taught him. In verse number 6, it says, "For though I would desire to glory," Paul has a lot to say, look at me, look what I've done, look what I've been through. But Paul says in verse number 6, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Did you catch that? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. So he's saying here, I enjoy going through infirmities. All right? In reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, of all the things that Paul mentioned, from the beatings, to the stoning, to the shipwreck, to being in the deep for a night and a day, for perils in his travels, the one thing he spent more time on, which is interesting, he didn't complain about being stoned, he didn't complain about being beaten, he didn't complain about all these things. The one thing he spent three verses talking about was his thorn in the flesh. And I think to Paul, this was the worst thing that he had going on for him, was this thorn in the flesh. But in verse number 9, he said, Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul understood something. Paul understood that because of my infirmities, because of the things that I've been going through, I can have the power of Christ in my life. And I want to talk to you briefly about that tonight. I honestly do have several pages of notes, but I'm just basically reading through them, so it shouldn't take very long. So I want to speak on that tonight. How many likes electricity? How many hates electricity? That's right. Honestly, I tell my wife every once in a while, I'm just going to go outside, find the shut off, and shut everything off to the house. And she's like, why are you going to do that? You know, she's like, I can't wash my, you know, we don't have hot water and all this stuff. And I'm like, because I like every once in a while just not having electricity. You don't have, you know, everything running, and it's like, oh my goodness. And it's good for the kids too. I mean, we've lost our power a few times, and you know, the kids are like, what do I do? You know, and it's like, and it's more hectic for mommy because she's like, you know, go do something. And the kids are like, you know, they're trying to play in the dark and they can't see their toys. And you know, you're trying to put Legos together and they can't get them together. And it just becomes a real stressful situation. And that's when I'm, you know, I'm over here at church where they got power working and, you know, doing what I should. But, you know, so sometimes I just like not having power, you know, and people love their cell phones. And, you know, if you're in love with your cell phone, you know, God bless you, you know, enjoy it. But I can't stand mine. I mean, it absolutely annoys me to death. I know I got to have it, you know, for call people and work and, you know, but honestly, 10 years ago, I mean, they really haven't come about with it. I mean, I remember when Dad went to teen camp, you know, his cell phone, he had like one of the cutting edge technology cell phones and it was in a bag, you know, like this. And he's the only one that had a cell phone. And that's just because he worked on a farm and they had some cell phones, you know. Before it was a CB, over now, you know. So I don't like technology, but electricity is a pretty amazing thing. And I don't know much about electricity. There's many men in here. You could tell much more about electricity than I do. But most people, when you think of electricity, you know, you flip on the switch and it just, the lights come on and you don't really think about it. But electricity is a pretty interesting thing. You know, Benjamin Franklin, he got his wool and his, I think it was wax or something, he was rubbing it together and he was getting a current. And, you know, this was pretty amazing. But, you know, and everybody knows the story about the kite and the key and everything like that. And we all know those stories, but Benjamin Franklin was wrong, to be quite honest with you. Because current, and I'm gonna tell you this tonight, and this is fact. You can go read, and I'll tell you why I came about this, why I learned this. This is not something normal that most of you would probably really have a reason to know. But everybody recognize what these are. Algebra students, what are they? Positive and negative. All right, positive and negative. And on every battery, you're going to have what? Positive and negative. Positive and negative, okay? And I want to talk to you tonight about these. Most people believe, And if you would think of as current as almost a liquid flowing, it's not really a liquid, but we'll think of it as a liquid. Most people believe that your current flows from your positive to your negative side. They think your current, when you, when you're working on your car or something, most people think that your current actually comes from the positive side of your battery. And that's not true. That's not true. Have you ever noticed, and it really, you probably never really thought about it, but when you're working on your car, if you got a manual, what's the first thing they always tell you to do? Disconnect the negative. They don't tell you to disconnect the positive. They tell you to disconnect the negative. The reason is because your power is actually still coming from your negative side, even though most people believe it's coming from your positive side. You say, Brother Chad, why in the world does this pertain to anything? All right? I enjoy welding. I'm by no means a professional at it. My dad just taught me to do. My dad is much better at it. Brother Don's good at it. There's probably other men in the church here that are exceptional welders. I cannot stick weld, which is you have the electrode. I really can't stick weld. I've just not practiced enough. I can MIG weld. I've done a little bit of TIG welding, but I really can't stick weld. But when I had to stick weld one time, and I noticed that I didn't have the cables hooked up. And your cables would go on two terminals, and they say positive and negative. And I didn't know which one it went on to. And so I started doing some checking. And there's actually, you can hook it up where you can weld either electrode positive or electrode negative. You can weld both directions, okay? One's called straight welding, and one's called reverse polarity. And you say, Brother Chad, why does this matter? Because it actually matters a lot. And I got this wrote down because I get confused if I don't write it down. But electrode negative, when you weld with the electrode as being the negative, there is more heat in the plate, all right, in what you're welding. But if you weld electrode positive, there's more heat in the electrode. So say, for instance, I have a 16-inch electrode that I'm welding with, and I want to weld electrode positive. If I try to do that, the heat's so great in that electrode, it just burns it up immediately, and I can't weld with it. It's gone. I mean, just as soon as you arc it, it just eats that electrode up. But if you weld with a 16-inch electrode on electrode negative, it gives you a real deep, good weld on electrode negative. So it does matter which way your electricity is flowing, all right? And that's the reason I got to looking at this, and I thought, that's kind of interesting that your power actually, even though everybody says that your power comes from the positive, that's called conventional flow, by the way, but your power actually, the power from the electrons comes from your negative side, and that's called electron flow. And so when we flip on a switch, it's not actually, even though you think, the power's coming from, the power station, coming through those positive, the power lines. Well, folks, if there is no ground, if there is no negative, you have nothing. Because your power is actually coming from the ground, and it's just reacting. Okay, so you have absolutely nothing if you do not have a good ground. One of the first things, I remember some of the first times I was welding and I was working on the farm, and Dad, and I was getting so frustrated. I mean, I was welding with a MIG gun, and I was learning how to weld with a MIG gun, and it seemed like every time I was striking an arc and I was trying to weld, I mean, I had slag just splattering everywhere, Brother Don. I was getting burnt. I mean, I had junk all over me. And I was just absolutely frustrated because I got together and I thought, man, that looks good. That's a good looking weld right there. And we took it out and it broke like right away. I was like, what in the world? Why didn't I, it looked great. That weld looked good, but it wasn't. It wasn't a good weld. It hadn't penetrated good enough. And I talked to Dad and he said, well, did you grind off a ground spot? Negatives for your negative lead? And I said, no. He said, well, you didn't have a good ground. And that's the problem. I didn't have that good negative. I thought I had, I got all this positive. I mean, I'll just turn up the welder and I'll just punch through it. It didn't matter how high I turned that welder up. It wouldn't matter until I got a good negative there, a good ground. And so now I want to talk to you just a little bit about that. Folks, I have some work lights, and I got an illustration. Whether I use it or not, I may not. I got some work lights for my truck, and one of the biggest things is you have to have a good ground for them. I work late at night, usually splitting wood, sometimes 10, 11 o'clock, and I just don't have the light I need. So I got some LED work lights, and and they're really nice, but if I just hook my positive to it, I don't have any light at all. And you know, we're challenged this year. We need to shine as lights. And sometimes you look at your life and you think, man, how in the world am I going to shine? I got all this stuff in my life this year, or maybe you don't have anything in this yet, but you will have something probably by the end of the year. Something that you just think, man, why can God? Or have you ever asked the question, why did God let this happen to me? All right, why did God let this happen to me? Why me? And I think a lot of times we all ask those questions: is why me? Life as we see it has good things and bad things. Everyone, if you had your choice, me included, you would take the good things every day of the week. You love it when your day goes great. You love it when everything is just perfect. But you know what, folks? Just like the Apostle Paul said in verse number 9, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul had to have these infirmities before he could have the power of Christ. He couldn't have the power of Christ without these infirmities. And I'm going to use some illustrations tonight. And I just want you to think about in your life, what is there in your life and it's a negative. It's an absolute negative. There's just no way. I mean, you don't see any positive thing about it. And there may not be in your perspective. But how can the light shine through you through that negative? All right? And I want you to stay with me tonight. First person I want to look at is Joseph. What about Joseph? Have you ever thought about the life of Joseph? Joseph's one of my most favorite characters in the Bible. Joseph was hated by his brothers. All right? That's an obvious negative. Nobody likes to be disowned by your family. Okay? He was put in a pit. All right? He was sold as a slave. And he was put into prison after he was sold as a slave and after he had done a great job. So Joseph's life was pretty well full of negatives. What we would say, man, this guy is really bad luck. All right? I mean, it's one of them. He's Murphy's Law's perfect example. You know, if something will go wrong in Joseph's life, it probably will go wrong in Joseph's life. And, you know, even when everything in Joseph's life seemed like it was going great and then something came up, you know, he was serving Potiphar great. And that would have been great, but, you know, that's not what God had for him. And it took a negative, took Joseph going to prison before he could see the power of God through his life. Because that Joseph was hated by his brothers, he was put into a pit. Because he was put into a pit, he was eventually sold as a slave. Because he was eventually sold as a slave, he was worked good as a slave, but he was put into prison. But because he was hated by his brothers, put in a pit, sold as a slave, put into prison, he then became the ruler of Egypt, second command. He saved his family that had hated him and put him in a pit and sold him as a slave. He saved his family from starvation. And Joseph, none of his brothers, was given land for inheritance in the land of Egypt. None of these things would have happened without first Joseph being hated by his brothers, put in a pit, sold as a slave, and put into prison. None of those would have happened. He would have just been like any one of his brothers, a no name. I mean, how many could stand up here and tell me, you know, the name of every one of Joseph's brothers? Nobody can do, I'm going to say nobody, but most people really couldn't on the spot. All right? So Joseph, power came from the negatives in Joseph's life. What about Job? We always think of Job when we think of things that go wrong in your life. I mean, what more could go wrong, right, in a guy's life? He lost all of his children. Then he lost all of his possessions. Then he lost his health. And this is all within a day. There's another guy, Murphy's Law, you know, example number 2. All right? But because of that, he became the wealthiest man in his nation. He had double the children. You say, Brother Chad, he had double the children. Yeah, he had the ones in heaven, and God gave him a whole other set. He had twice the possessions that he had, and he had a book in the Bible written about him. A book in the Bible written about him. What about David? David had a lot of negatives in his life also. He was the youngest. He was picked on as being the youngest. All right? I'm not the youngest, so praise the Lord. But he was picked on as being the youngest. He was a wanted man. I mean, he had people literally hunting for him. Okay? Then once he got all past all this and he became king, and then he still had, you think, well, great, he got past all that. He's gonna be all right now. And then he sinned. And then his son rebelled against him and wanted to kill him, basically. All right? But what about the positives in Joseph's life that came as a result of the negatives? He was the greatest king Israel ever had. The Bible calls him a friend of God. He was basically instrumental in building the temple. I understand that Solomon built the temple, but Solomon, I don't know, would have built the temple if David wouldn't have had everything already prepared for him. All right? Moses. What about Moses? He's saved from death as a baby. All right? They were when Moses was born, the Pharaoh had basically instituted a mandatory abortion. I mean, when a baby was born, they had to kill it right away if it was a Hebrew baby. So Moses was one of the only ones that was saved as a baby. Moses had to grow up in the world system. You say, Brother Chad, I'm here tonight, and I didn't get a chance, like a lot of these young people did, to grow up in a Christian school. I didn't have that opportunity. You know, sometimes you look at that, I've been influenced by the world. Hey, Moses was. Yep. Moses grew up in the world system. He grew up in the public school of the world. That's where Moses grew up, all right? Hey, he killed a man. He killed a man. He got aggravated, and he killed a man, and then he was banished. All right, he was sought for. He once again was a hunted man, but then he spent time in the wilderness. He had to spend some time alone. But as a result of all this, you know, he led God's people out of Egypt. He showed God's might through Moses. And then what about this? This is kind of neat. You think, well, what about, you know, Moses struck the rock. He struck the rock the second time, and God said, "You can't go into Canaan land." But how many people do you know that could be said that they were buried by God? You ever think about that? All right. Daniel. What about Daniel? He was taken from his home as a boy. He was taught by the world. He was made to take a stand against wrong, and then he was thrown in the lion's den. So first of all, he was taken from his home as a boy. He also was put through the world's training system. He was basically sent to the public school or their curriculum that he had to have influenced upon him. Then he had to take a stand against wrong. Then he was thrown into the lion's den. But because of this, he too became second in command to the king. He was used by God to prophesy end times. So, Brother Chad, I got all these things in my life, and this, you know, I didn't expect this thing to come up or whatever. Hey, it may even be, it's not always a long-term thing. You ever just have them days? It's just like, seriously, that went wrong too. I remember, what was it, Tuesday? I everybody may think I'm kind of grouchy. I don't know. You may think I'm grouchy. I don't know. I don't care. But I'm usually, I have really pretty good days most of the time. I mean, there's not a whole lot that can really throw me off. But Tuesday was one of them days. It's just like, wow. Wow. That just had to happen on today. But I was supposed to go work for a guy at like 9:30 in the morning on Tuesday. He is a farmer, and he was trying to get some stuff in, and I was going to go help him. And then I had problems Tuesday morning. And then I got ready to go, and what was Tuesday? Of course, it was election, all right? So primary. So I was like, great. I'm running like 3 hours late now, okay? And I got to go vote. You know, I don't really want to go vote, but, you know, it's my duty. I need to go vote. So I was like, so I had to run. I had to go in between Pimento, or over by Pimento's where I was helping the guy. So I had to go run all the way over to Hymera, you know, completely out of the way of where I was going. So I didn't get over there till like 1 o'clock. And, you know, he's like, oh, you know, he's fine with it. But I just felt terrible because I told him I was going to be there at 9:30. You know, I called him and told him I was going to be late. And I was like, okay. So the rest of my day went pretty good till about 7:30, and then you know I got off from him about 7:30, and I went home, and my wife called me on the way home. She's like, "Hey, what you doing?" I was like, "Well, I'm on my way home." She's like, "Well, I'm over here where we used to live," and she's like, "The grass is really tall over here." Well, I'm supposed to be the one taking care of it, right? I was like, "Well, I don't know. I mean, it was like 7:30, and it gets pretty dark at 10. I mean, it's dark at 10. Earlier, probably 9:30, 10. I was like, well, let me see. And I had the sprayer hooked on the back of the tractor, and it was full of water. I was like, well, let me see if I can spray some of this. So I spent like 45 minutes spraying some of the water out of this sprayer just to make it easier to handle or move around. And I got the tractor loaded up, and I had to unhook the sprayer, put the mower out. So I'm headed over, take the Cass Road. Everybody knows Cass Road. I take it through, and I got my headlights on, and hey, you know, it's starting to get, I mean, it's almost 9 o'clock, and it's starting to get pretty dusky. I'm like, man, my eyes are just, I can't see very good tonight for some reason. And I'm squinting. I was like, man, it's just getting dark. I don't know what's wrong with my eyes. And I got my headlights on, and I finally get like around the corner once you get like on Old Shanklin, and I noticed my headlights aren't working. I thought, seriously, my headlights aren't working. And I got, you know, a tractor and a trailer behind me, and I'm going down in 10 buck two, okay? And so I finally make it, and I'm just running with my running lights on, and, you know, it's fine. I can see the road okay, so nobody can see me, but I can see the road. So I make it to the house, and I start mowing, and, you know, 11 o'clock, I finally get done mowing about 11 o'clock. All right, I'm mowing with lights and all kinds of stuff. And I thought, I've had problems with my light switch before, and I've had to replace it, and I'm sure there's just some wires in there loose or something. So I got my weed eater out at 11 o'clock at night, put my headlamp on, and I'm starting weed eating with my headlamp on. I'm not kidding. Like 2 minutes after I start weed eating, my string, I hadn't filled my string in forever. I mean, I got that real heavy stuff that lasts forever. And it is like, and I knew right away what happened. I had lost all my string, and I got like 3/4 of the trimming left to do. I was like, all right, I'm just going to go get my headlights working. It's just probably a loose wire or something somewhere. So I went over there, and I'm messing with my truck, and I can't find it. And if you've ever seen, if you've ever seen the inside of my truck, you'd think I'm a total slob. But it's also completely full of tools. So, I can take my truck apart with what's in my truck. And if I can't take it apart, I'll just shoot it. So, I opened my toolbox, and I got my tester out there with my headlight, and I had asked my wife to stay. You know, I hadn't eaten yet. I hadn't eaten since like 11 o'clock, and they hadn't eaten. The kids were all tired, but if I don't have headlights, I gotta get home some way. So I'm in there, I'm testing stuff. I got power everywhere that I can think of, but I don't have it up there at my headlights. I mean, I took the bulb out, I was checking stuff, and I don't have power anywhere. I thought, like, okay, the girls gotta get home, I'm starving, we just need to go home. So, you know those headlights I told you about? Yeah, I look like a total redneck. But I sucked them things up on top of my truck, and that's the way we went home. I had them things up on there, and I actually only had one of them, and it was on this side because they're really bright. They're LED lights, and they're super bright. Well, I can't dim them anyway, all right? So I'm driving down the road, you know, 11:30 at night. I'm driving down the highway. I got people coming towards me, so I reach up there, and I turn the lights on. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. You know, I'm just trying to work, make a living for my family, and I'm driving down the highway at 11:30 at night, you know, turning lights so I don't blind people. I'm like, what else can go wrong? So I get home, and I thought, I'm just going to stick this light bulb back in there. And so I went and I hit my dimmer switch on my truck, and my lights come on. I spent like an hour, 2 hours working on it. But it had just been like stuck in between bright and the dim. And I'm over there checking, you know, I'm trying to impress my wife. I still try to impress my wife. You know, well, it's probably this wire right here. Ain't that one, you know. And it was my stupid dimmer switch. And I thought, okay, I'll just put my light bulb back in. And I kid you not. You know, it's just a little thing. You just stick in there, and it's just got a quick cam lock on it. Super easy. An hour and a half later, I had still not got that crazy light bulb in there. And it's at that point, you know, it's 1:30 in the morning on, Wednesday, I guess, at that point. You know, and the neighbor lady up the hill is probably, she watches everything we do anyway. She's probably like,
what are they doing out there? And I was like, and Rachel's, you know, she's being the good wife. She knows at this point, you know, just don't say anything. I mean, you know, she probably sees what's wrong. You know, she probably sees, oh, you just need to do this. But if she says it, it's going to be bad news, you know. So I was like, okay, this is ridiculous. So I just took everything up. And I had still not, I mean, this is 1:30. I still hadn't checked birds. I check birds every night. I still hadn't checked birds that night. So I walk in the barn, you know, I got my headlight on. I'm checking, make sure all everything's okay. I finally get in the house like at 2 o'clock. And she's like, do you want me to make something for supper? No, just a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I'm going to bed. You ever have those days? You know, everything, honestly, just... I mean, honestly, like I said, most of my days, I can't complain. God's great to me. And he was good to me that day, too. I mean, there's 20 other gazillion things that could have gone wrong. But you just got them days, it's like, seriously, another thing. How could anything else bad go wrong today? And before you know it, you walk around the corner and, you know, ladies, you're running late and you're going shopping and, you know, you got the kids with you and you're... You know, you're supposed to be someplace at a certain time, and you walk around the corner, and one of the kids reach up and grabs, you know, the jar of spaghetti sauce, the glass jar of spaghetti sauce, and whoosh, all over the floor, and it's like, oh my goodness, child, you know. It's just one of them things. But, you know, through all these negative things, sometimes you've got them negative days, sometimes you've got a negative thing in your life. It's a big thing, all right? And through these... What we have to be careful is that we still let the light shine. Because, folks, it's only through that negative that you can truly... Hey, what about this? What about that... Remember the centurion that was with Paul and Silas? That was led to the Lord by Paul and Silas? What if Paul and Silas wouldn't have experienced that negative in their life? And they would have never been in jail. What about that centurion? So you think, well, I've got this medical need and this is a real thorn in the flesh. Well, who are you able to talk to that maybe you wouldn't have been able to talk to without that in your life? You know, your car breaks down on the side of the road. Would you ever think that maybe that person that stopped was somebody that God wanted you to shine as a light to? Did you ever think that, you know, well, maybe that person that has to come clean up your mess in the store that your child made, maybe that person needs, hey, it can be a simple, shining as lights isn't always necessarily witnessing, taking out your Bible and witnessing to somebody. Shining as a light, remember what it said in Philippians chapter 2 verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, in a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Blameless and harmless. Sometimes shining as lights, folks, isn't necessarily witnessing to somebody, which we should. But sometimes shining as lights is the lady at the cash register is on the end of her rope. You know, she's had four screaming, you know, four of those families that have the screaming kids in front. And she's just like the lady we talked to the other night, an older lady that just doesn't want to put up with it. And she's just fed up. She's at the end of her shift and she just wants to go home. And she's a complete grouch. So instead of being a grouch to her, you know, she's had a pretty negative day probably. I wouldn't want to be a cashier. And you wouldn't want me to be a cashier. All right? It would not be pretty. But she's just had a rough day. You know, maybe she just needs somebody to shine as a light in her life and say, hey, you know, take her mind off of things. Say, hey, hope you're having a good day. Have a good evening the rest of the night. Maybe she just needs that. You know, sometimes shining as lights isn't, like I said, maybe it's reaching your hand out to give somebody an extra hand. You know, sometimes the people that are the greatest examples here to me in the church are the people that really have a reason not to be here, but you come anyway, and it's not a, oh, woe is me, I'm here at church, aren't you sorry for me that I came to church, bless me. It's not those people that are shining as lights. It's people that you come to church, and if you didn't know that they had a problem, or you didn't know that they had a heartache, or you didn't know that, you know, something was awry in their life, you would think nothing's wrong, and they're going around and they're being a blessing. Hey, you know what? They're using that negative in their life to shine as a light in other people's lives. Cannot be said of you. Cannot be said of me.
You know, sometimes it's me, and I was thinking about this today, you know, sometimes it's easy for me to get up here and you know, try to be an encouragement to you about shining as lights, because I was looking across the auditorium while we were singing, and honestly, everybody in here probably has a heartache and probably has something heavy on your heart. But what are you going to do with that? Are you going to, well, woe is me, this is something I just have to bear alone? Or are you going to just shine as a light, use that to shine forth towards others? I want to go through just a few of things. The last example we could see is Jesus. Hey, he came to earth. Well, Brother Chad, is that a negative? Well, yeah, if you lived in heaven your whole life, I think coming to earth would probably be a negative. He had to grow up like us. He had to endure everything that every one of us endures growing up. He had to be under authority. The King of Kings subjecting himself to his mom and dad. The King of Kings subjecting himself to maybe a teacher. He had to be under authority. He had to subject himself. He was persecuted by religious authority, those that should have been behind him. He was persecuted by them, but he died on the cross. A terrible death. But because of that, he saved all of mankind. He was tempted. He was example. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He rose from the grave. He intercedes for us. As we can see, God puts negatives in all of our lives. How we take these negatives and let them influence our lives has a direct impact on how God uses us. How are you going to take these negatives and let them influence your life? Are you going to let them get you down, or are they going to empower you? As Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse 9, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Our theme for this year is to shine as lights, and sometimes it seems that things are going bad and we are not able to shine as lights because of all the negative things that are coming into our lives or the lives of our families. We must keep in mind how our light is shining during these negative times, because when there's the greatest negatives, there is also the potential for the brightest light. If you have a battery terminal on a battery that's corroded, it's actually very unbelievable what problems it can cause. Your car can stop running. Your lights will be dim. But you know what? If you got a good strong negative terminal, it helps produce bright light. And sometimes the greatest negatives in our life will also produce the brightest light. And so as we think about this, as we go forth to shine as lights, I know it's hard to not get discouraged. It's hard not to get discouraged. But take that, and I want you to take 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 with you, and at least the second part. It says, most of us look at the first part, "My grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I want to go through a list of things. It's just a few things here. And I want you to just follow with me and think about this, okay? Think with me of all the things that Christ did just in the New Testament. There had to be a shortage of wine before Jesus could turn the water into wine. Bad thing. There had to be the demons in order for them to be cast out. Luke chapter 4. Peter's wife could not have been healed unless she was sick. There couldn't have been a miraculous fishing night if there wouldn't have been a night with no fish. A man had to endure leprosy in order to experience the joy of being clean. A man had to have been paralyzed to have been made whole. A hand had to be withered to be made like new. The centurion's servant was sick before he was ever able to be healed. The widow was heartbroken over the death of her son before she could rejoice over the resurrection of her son. Jairus' daughter also had to experience death before she could experience resurrection. The woman with the issue of blood came to the end of herself, came to the end of everything she had, even, I believe, of her almost mental capacities. But she came to Christ and she was healed. There must be a storm before Jesus can calm it. There had to be very hungry people before they could be fed. There had to be blindness before there could be sight. There had to be the death of Christ before there could be the resurrection of Christ. There had to be the death of Christ before my salvation. What is there in your life that you are viewing as a negative? Let God use that negative thing in your life to empower you to shine as light. Remember, folks, you're going to have positives, and everybody wants the positives, and I'm glad when things positive happen. But don't get so discouraged when you got a negative. Because remember, the power doesn't come from the good things that happen. Yeah, they're great. They're wonderful. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Power doesn't come from your positives. The power comes from the negatives in your life. And only when you have that strong negative is when we can shine truly as lights in this dark world. Hey, there's a lot of negative things in this world. A lot of negative things. And people are going to look at us as Christians to see how we handle negative things in our life. And that way we can shine forth as lights in the world. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this night. Lord, I pray that I was able to be a blessing to the folks tonight. Lord, I know each and every one of the folks here tonight, including myself, we go through just days that doesn't seem like anything goes right for us. And sometimes they're just periods of our life, maybe extended periods. It's just we got a heartache or a burden or an ailment. And Lord, we trust you that you know what you're doing. Sometimes we don't understand. But Father, I pray that your power would rest upon us. Lord, I pray that we would use those negative things in our life, that we would allow them to shine forth as bright lights for you. Father, I pray that you would just enable us to do this. Help us as we go home tonight. Father, I pray that you just bless each and every family, each and every person here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.